Greetings. You're in the right place at the right time. I'm your host, the original Dansky, and you are listening to the unknown and unexplained. Tonight, I'd like you to imagine being outside on your patio. It's a nice, cool evening. You're having a beer, talking to some friends. You look up in the sky and see a fireball going through it, but not behaving like anything like a comet or a meteor or anything like that. Instead, it's zigzagging almost as if it was being piloted by some intelligence. You watch and you watch until you see it crash into the woods near your home. You may think this is crazy. You may think it's hard to believe, but it won't be hard to believe if you were in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania on December 9th, 1965, because that's exactly what we're talking about tonight. Pennsylvania's Roswell. On the evening of December 9th, 1965, we know for fact that something crashed in the woods of Pennsylvania. We know that this thing, whatever it was reported by citizens of six U.S. states and Canada. We know it traveled an immense distance. Now, astronomers want to tell us that it was a meteor burning in our atmosphere. The reason it was so bright is they were contributing that to its steep angle. They say it was something called a meteor bolide. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I Wikipedia'd that to make sure that I could read about it before, I said anything about it, because I've never really heard of that before. And what it says is a bolide is an extremely bright meteor, especially one that explodes in the atmosphere. In astronomy, it refers to a fireball about as bright as the full moon. Okay, well, we know for a fact that this incident, it was extremely bright. It caught the attention of people over six states and Canada. Not just in America. This is two different governments involved with this. So we know it was a big deal. We know it was causing sonic booms. We know it was attracting the attention of everyone, because the second it crashed, the army showed up. And we even have reports of people from NASA being there. And we have people that were from the police department saying that when the army came in, they literally took control. They started running the show. They took the control from the police, from the local government, and did what they felt was best, which was cordoning off the entire area and not letting anyone go near it. Of course, before the government got there, though, we do have some people that saw this thing. One guy in particular, Bill Buelbusch, I can't say his last name. I probably didn't even spell it right, but Bill Buelbusch, he's the one that actually saw it streaking in the sky. And when he saw it, he said that it had an immense smell of sulfur. He explained it smelled like rotten eggs. It was like a sulfur smell. It was an acorn-shaped object with strange markings around the bottom of it, like hieroglyphics, which is not a common shape this isn't the common shape we see in UFOs. Also, you know, we have another guy that actually went down there, and he was a reporter. That was John Murphy, who was actually a reporter, and he went down there. He took some photos. That was before the Army got there, and he had actually planned on doing a show about it. But we'll come back to that. So we know so far that whatever it was probably under intelligent control. It's 1965, so we don't have anything that can really do that at that time. Now, NASA, a lot of people would come forward saying, well, it was probably a Russian satellite, and that's probably why the Army got there so fast. But if it was a Russian satellite and it was falling through the atmosphere, how did it go back and forth? Like, that's really weird. How does that happen? You know, I know for a fact that when our Apollo capsules came back, they just fell through the sky. I can't think of anything actually burning up in the atmosphere going back and forth while on fire. You know, after you go through it, maybe. We got the space shuttle. That thing can... But even that can't really go back and forth because it's designed for space travel. It really isn't designed to fly through the sky. It's not really made to be able to go back and forth and zigzag around looking for a place to land. In 2005, NASA released a statement reporting that experts had examined fragments from the area, and they determined that it was a Soviet satellite, but we can't see those findings because they were lost in the 1990s. That's convenient. We know that within hours of the crash, the military shows up and they're with NASA. This is nothing new. This is nothing new with the military showing up to these crash sites and recovering these objects. We see the same exact thing even today in Barstow, California. The same thing happened. This object fell out of the sky near a small community in Barstow, California, not long after it was there on the ground. It wasn't even there for more than a few minutes before several SUVs came and circled it. Another truck came in, it was loaded on it and taken out, which is exactly what we see right here in Kecksburg. Now, the military tells us they found nothing. They were looking for something, but they said they never found anything. But we have eyewitnesses that saw the Army bringing in a flatbed truck and then leaving with something covered up with a tarp. So what was on the truck? Now, we got all kinds of theories. Of course, we have the UFO theory. That's why I love this mystery, because there's so many theories. And I personally, I know UFOs are real. I've seen them. I know that the government covers it up, because if people figured out how real this stuff was and how we really don't have control of the skies the way we think we do, and we're not the dominant species, I think some people would really just lose their minds. So I know we cover it up, but one really wild explanation is that it is possible, because of the way this has been explained, we know that the craft, several people that saw it said it looked like an acorn type of craft, which actually matches the description of something the Nazis were experimenting with in World War II called Die Glocke, or the Bell, which was a top secret Nazi experiment powered by this strange glowing red-hued fuel that was said that it was enabled to defy gravity, some type of anti-gravity system. And this was part of that Wonder Weapons project that was going to turn the whole war around. Now, we didn't find it at the end of the war, and during an interrogation, this SS officer said that the guy running it, Hans Kemmler, or Kamler, or whatever, he's a Nazi, I don't care if I get his name right, but Hans Kamler used the Bell in order for him and his friends to escape the end of the war. And they disappeared, all of them. They disappeared, the Bell disappeared. And this thing had a lot of weird stuff going on around it. Apparently, all the scientists, as well as the soldiers that worked around this thing, they all started to go crazy and then they would die. So it was giving off some kind of energy that affected you in a very negative way. And if you're going to say, well, you know, Dan, that's crazy. You know, they didn't work on stuff like that. Well, before you say they didn't work on stuff like the Bell, let me also tell you that they were also working on a satellite death ray using the sun. And remember, these guys had rockets that actually could go to space. So they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And we think they got that technology from another UFO crash in the Black Forest. So is it possible that these crashes are being taken by our government and reverse engineered into the technology we have today? Is that why technology is just going forward at such an incredible rate? The Army says they found nothing down there, but something was definitely loaded onto a truck. And Barstow was the same thing. In Barstow, they saw something come down out of the sky. A bunch of SUVs came out of nowhere. They told them nothing. They didn't say they were from the government. They didn't say they were from some three-letter agency. They just came in there. A truck came in after them. They put it on the truck and they left. It's kind of what happened at Kecksburg. This thing fell out of the sky. The Army shows up. They took over. Once they got the thing on the truck, they left. I honestly think that we have a special team in the military that's main job is to go out and recover these objects. We've been doing it since Roswell. And really, they were really good at covering it up. We know that this guy, John Murphy, he was doing a whole show about it. He had pictures of it. he got into the woods before the army got there and was able to really investigate it. He noticed this bluish smoke. He noticed the smell of sulfur. And where these photos are, we don't know, but we do know that he was doing a show at his radio station, and these men from the government in black suits, black fedoras, came in, they spoke to him, and when they left, he trashed the show, and he never said anything about the Kecksburg incident ever again. So what did these guys say to him? Is that the men in black? Are we seeing the men in black actually come in and help keep a UFO incident quiet? Like, I know we got theories that are like, hey, this could be like this Hans Kimmler guy traveling forward in time, because a lot of people say the Die Glocke thing had the ability to move in time and space, which, that's wild. I don't know if I buy into that, but I definitely know something fell out of the sky and into Kecksburg on December of 1965, on the evening of December 9th. Something fell out there. A lot of them want us to believe it was the Cosmos 96 Soviet probe. And that's what NASA wanted to tell us in 2005, that they had found fragments of what they believed was what they had determined to be a Soviet probe, which they lost the findings in 1990, so we can't even prove it. But it's interesting because the Cosmos 96 probe, when you actually look at the orbital trajectory, you see that it actually burned up a lot sooner, and there's no possible way that it crashed in Kecksburg. What the hell crashed in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania? How did the Army know it was there? Why did they tell us there was nothing there? Why was NASA there? What was on the truck? What happened to it? We see the same thing in Roswell. We see the same thing in Barstow. And we don't just see this in America, by the way. If you think America is the only government out there grabbing these things, well, let me tell you something. Get ready, because if you look at the Coyame incident in Mexico, you really get the idea that there really is a special unit of military personnel, maybe CIA, some guys from some kind of science and technology like DARPA, guys going out there and getting this stuff. Because of the Coyame, Mexico incident, we have this object that is on the radar for the U.S. and the Mexican military, and it actually was going towards the United States over the Gulf of Mexico before it turned rapidly towards Mexico, and actually it even crashes into a private civilian plane in a mid-air collision. And the Mexicans don't even realize what's going on at first. They get there and they see there's two crashes, and there's this other vehicle there that is obviously not from here. So The Americans know they have it because before they went radio dark, they blacked out all communications. They sent a transmission of what they'd found, and the CIA intercepted that communication. And immediately, we have reports that the American government tried to step in and tell them to let us take care of it, and the Mexicans flat out said nothing happened, that there was no crash and there was no vehicle. And we prepared a team to go anyway. And out of nowhere, the Mexicans said, hey, if you want it, you can have it. And when we go to retrieve it, we see that this entire detail of Mexican soldiers is dead because they have been in contact with this object. So we know that there's some kind of special training, and we know this incident happened because a MUFON investigation even found out who the dead Mexican soldiers were. They talked to the people about the plane crash. They had the documentation of the radar control towers and the trajectories of which way these radar blips were going. We have the evidence this happened. We know these guys died because of contact with these things. So we know that our government has been specially training guys to go get these things, probably since Roswell. We know in 1947, Truman signed the National Security Act, and a lot of us think he did it because of Roswell in order to control the flow of information. This happened so quickly. And it's not the first time we see it. Not just in the early days after World War II, not just during the days of the Cold War, but even now in Barstow, California, we can still have something fall out of the sky, have some agency in black SUVs go coordinate off, and then have it disappear on a truck to some military base, and no one will ever know. And for those of the people that want to know, that ask the questions, you get a visit from these men in black suits that are going to make your life a living hell if you pursue it. What the hell fell out of the sky in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania? No one knows. We know the Army didn't let anyone go down there. We know that people from NASA were there looking for something. We know that if we had a situation where extraterrestrials crashed in this planet, on this planet, we would definitely have people from NASA there. You know that's how it would go. Is that how it went in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania on December 9th, 1965? So many people say this thing zigzagged across the sky like it was something looking for a place to land. Was it under intelligent control? If it was under intelligent control, there's no way it could have been a satellite, and there's no way it could have been a meteor bolide, which they've already changed their stories a couple times. They tell us first it's a meteor, this meteor bolide, and then they tell us it's a Russian satellite, but they can't prove it because the files are gone. But then we see the paperwork for Cosmos 96, which is the thing that NASA tells us crashed there. But its data is telling it crashed long before this, somewhere far from Kecksburg. People reported whiffs of blue smoke, vibrations, thumps. Was it still operational? Was the engine still running? That certainly doesn't sound like a meteor to me. John Murphy didn't think it was a meteor, and he saw something that caused his life to possibly be in danger, which we've seen others who have seen things, their lives put in danger. Some of them pass away from very strange causes. I think of Phil Schneider, who apparently they would have us think he committed suicide by strangling himself to death with his catheter. That's hard to believe. We know that John Murphy was visited by some men in black suits who were most likely the men in black. Some sort of government agency that's mission is to keep all this information highly secret and away from us. They've succeeded in making the topic of UFOs taboo. So now when we talk about any type of intelligent extraterrestrial life, they make you out like you're a crackpot. But I don't think that the people of over six states and in Canada are crackpots. I think they saw something in the sky that day. What happened in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, December 9th, 1965, on an evening where nothing else of note happened? What happened here? At this point, the Kecksburg incident remains unknown and unexplained. Thank you for listening. I am the original Dansky, and this is the unknown and unexplained. Remember, if you go into the dark, don't go alone.